Okay, Job chapter 19, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remains with me, with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God has overthrown me and has compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He has fenced me up my way. He has fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. He has stripped me out of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He has destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And my hope has he removed like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me away against me in a camp round about my tabernacle. He has put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spoke against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaved to my skin and my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But you should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that you may know where is judgment. Boy, Job gonna get down to it. Responded to Bildad, the one with the confused love. And see, I kind of think that would kind of represent the Pentecostal realm, because they're confused about love. They think that punishment and rules and regulations means love. That's not what it's about. That's not love. But Job responds and says, how long will you grieve my bones might break my bones, but words, that's a lie. Words will leave you bruised for a lifetime if God doesn't clear them out. The words, and children can be so cruel because they don't realize the implication of what their words do, what the complete destruction that comes out of their mouth, you know, how evil it is, really. So anyway, he said, how long will you crush me with your words? He said, these 10 times have you reproached me or hurt and insulted me. You're not ashamed that you injure me at all. Why did he say 10 times? They were still the law, see? They were bringing rules and regulations to him. Said, you're telling me to live under the law, but I've met somebody beyond the law. I'm talking to the law giver, and you're telling me I got to live under the law, and he's saying, I am the law. He's having an experience now. So he goes on and says, and indeed I have erred. There's a confession right there. Okay, there's a confession there. He's opened up now and said, hey, I have erred. It's in me. His mind is changing because he's heard God. He didn't hear the accusations of his friends. He heard God. He said, and my error remains within myself. He said, hey, I know I got a problem, but it's within me. If I'm offended, who's got the problem? Me. So if anything like that goes on, if I'm deceived, whose problem is it? The Bible doesn't say that someone can deceive you from without. It said deception comes from within. He said, if indeed you will magnify yourselves above me and judge over my shame and disgrace. He said, if you're going to do these things, if you're going to make yourself self-righteous and you're going to judge over me, he said, know now has what? Overthrown me? Wait. Back to somebody else who wrestled with God. Who was it? Jacob. He said, and see, when Jacob wrestled with God, he wrestled with him what time of day? Nighttime. All night long. Night speaks of darkness. Darkness refers to ignorance. So in our time of ignorance, we wrestle with God. And he said, hey, God's done wrestled with me. And what happened with Jacob when he wrestled with God all night? In the morning, the sun rose. The Christ rose in him. The illumination of God in him rose up after he wrestled through all of his ignorance. And he never walked the same. God touched the hollow of his thigh, changed, and he was a shepherd. Now you rely on my strength because you can't do it on yourself. And he realized that God made him an example. And Job's saying right here, God has wrestled with me and has compassed me about with his net. He didn't take it that God beat him up and cast him aside. He said, no, he put me in his net. A net's not to destroy something. A net is to capture something, to take it to yourself. It wasn't a negative thing. He said, God wrestled with me. Huh? He brought him back, see? He brought him back to himself. He trapped him in his net and brought him back. And Job knows this. He said, behold, I cry out of violence. Not wrong, but violence. But I am not heard. Devil ain't doing nothing. The only devil I got's the one in between my ears. And that's the only one I got to deal with. I don't have to deal with anything external. That's God. God's out here doing things in my life to bring me back to him. Part of the process. If God created all things, then what didn't he create? So he created our situations too. For our benefit, not for his. He's not doing it to us. He's doing it for us. Saying it's going to change us. He said, I cry aloud, but there is no what? It should be justice. Now, when we see judgment brings a negative connotation in our understanding, in our culture. If they say you're a judge, they think, oh, he's going to punish them. Judgment is not always punishment. If you use the word justice, which both words can have the same meaning, justice says, in most people's mind, you got the fair thing, it's what it should be. It was the correct thing to do, see. But judgment, most people take it as a negative thing. It's not. Judgment can be for or against. You can be acquitted in front of a judge, or you can be found guilty, can't you? You got a positive and a negative there. He has fenced me, or literally walled up my path of life, that I cannot cross over. Whoa, what did he say? He said, God's in control of my life. He walled me up where I can't cross over the wall, and I've got to walk inside that wall, wherever he takes me. Wait, pardon? He's hedged you in. Whatever you want to say it, God has set a course, and you can't get out of that course until God lets you. And the only way you get out of your course is finish your course. When you get through it, you can get out of it. Okay? And he said, and he has set darkness. And what's the darkness here? Sorrow and wickedness. All those are in my path. He said all those things in our path. Anybody ever experienced any of that? It's called life. Yeah, exactly what it is. But all those things is part of life. He has stripped me of my glory. Now notice in verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13. All those verses, if you count all the he's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 3 his, which is the same person, 10 times he says, who's doing it to him? God. God is taking care of all this, see? It's the law of God. This thing is going to be done. He said, he has stripped me of my glory. He has taken away the crown from my head. That's your rulership. He's taken away the mind of Christ. And he'll give it back when he's ready. Just like when Adam was in the garden, he was walking in the presence of God, but as soon as he made his boo-boo there in the garden, God took it away from him, put him out of the garden, put the cherubim there so he can't come back in. That's all God's done. He wants us to go out and learn something in life. He didn't tell us to go sit in a little corner and never do nothing. If I sat in that corner back there and never look at anybody, never talk to anybody till the day I die, would that mean I was righteous and holy? No, I'd be in the same state I came. And the book says we were born in sins and trespasses. Yeah, I have to experience life so I can know which ones to get rid of. Like Paul said in Acts 27, in the third day you'll lighten the ship with your own hands. You'll throw it out yourself. Someone can't make you throw it out and change the way you think. God's not worried about how you react. He's worried about your thought process. And as you think in your heart, so are you. When you think in your heart that it's okay with God, it'll be okay with God. But as long as you feel guilt and condemnation, you're going to walk with your head down and hide from him, just like Adam did. He has destroyed me on every side, or literally completely, and I am gone. I is gone. Well, that's a good thing. I is gone. The ego of humanity, that's good. It's a good thing when my ego is gone. He said, and I am gone, and my hope has he pulled up like a tree. He plucked it up. Jeremiah, I think he said, whatever I plant, I will pluck up. Why would he do that? Why would he plant something and then pluck it up? He's got to first kill something to give it resurrection life. See, you can't be resurrected, resurrected, or relive again until you've lived and died so you can... has kindled his passion against me or upon me, and he regarded me to him as his adversary. The book says that the Holy Spirit will turn to be your adversary at certain times in your life. He will be the one bringing things against you. And the church world says, oh, that's the devil doing it. No, it's God doing it. He's doing all things. Give him credit where credit's due. His troops come as a unit, not together. They come as a unit, and they raise up their way against me, or their lifestyle against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. What's he saying? They come as a unit. What is a unit? Oneness. It's in one unit. See, an army is not a whole bunch of things, but it's one. It's a whole bunch of units made into one big unit. And in the body of Christ is the same way. It's a many-membered body of Christ. They all came together in the upper room in one accord. See, it's a thinking process. It's not about everybody gathered in the same building. It's about everybody coming into the thinking process of God. The mind of Christ is the heart of God. It's the mind of God. So Jesus said, the Father and I are one. And he said, make the ones you've given me, make them one with me as I am one with you. See, we're all coming into that thinking process. So I no longer think with my carnal mind. I can't hurt somebody. I can't steal. I can't lie. You can't even do it because it's not even in that program in that mind, is it? God's not a man that he could lie. All those things are removed. Okay, and he said they camped around him where? They camped round about his tabernacle. Right here. Here's the tabernacle. We're not talking about our whole body. God dwells in spirit inside of us, see? And they camp around the tabernacle. Why? Is that to destroy? Or is it to protect? Just like he said, God has overthrown me. He's wrestled with me, and he put his net around him. There's his net right there through his body. The rest of his troops, they're putting around for protection. He has removed my brethren far from me. What brethren is he talking about? The natural. All forsaken me? Yep, they've all forsaken me. Except Onesiphorus. Okay, he said, my acquaintances are indeed alienated from me. You know why people are alienated? They don't understand you. And see, spiritual things cannot be discerned by natural men. Mike and I was discussing this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says the natural man can't discern the things of the Spirit. So See, they can't understand. It's foolishness to them. See, if the wisdom of God cannot be understood by the princes of this world. The wisest men of the world can't understand the simple things that God gives us to understand. But be like a little child, and you can understand it all. Just trust God. See? And when you're alienated, a lot of times it's because you're alien to them. Okay? He said, my kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have what? Control of that. Father's in control of all things, so he caused them to forget him, to shun him. Part of Job's walk. And all sons of God, and that's sons and daughters, all sons and daughters of God have the same walk as Job has. We will be shunned by our familiar friends, our intimate friends. We will be forgotten by our family. They'll be estranged from us. Anybody can deny that? I think most of us can understand that one. My kinfolk have failed, and my familiar friends or intimate friends have been caused to forget me. They that dwell in my house and my maids regard me for a stranger. He was. They see who he is now. They see him who he was back then. A natural man, and they're alienated from him. They don't see the God in him. He said, I called my servant, and he gave me no response. I implored to him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Boy, there's a statement that don't make much sense. It's not breath anyway. The word breath is ruach, spirit. My spirit is strange to my what? Soul, my wife, my soul, my woman. He said, though I implored for the children of my own body, said she still didn't recognize me. When we're walking in the natural realm, in the soulish realm, we let emotions sway our decisions. And any decision that we make out of our emotions will be wrong. I promise you that. It will be wrong. Jesus never made a decision from his situation that he was in. He spoke what his Father told him to speak. He did what his Father told him to do. And that's working from truth and from facts, not from emotions. And that's what we have to do. Our emotions are very, very deceptive. Where's our emotions at? They're within us. The way we touch, taste, smell, hear, feel, all those things are emotions that are within us. You know, all the things we feel are within us. And those are the things that will deceive us. We got to work by truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not about the hunger and the thirst of that of the natural, but it's of the spiritual. In verse 18, he goes on and says, yes, young children do what? Despise or reject me. I arose and they spoke against me. All my intimate friends abhorred me, and they whom I love are turned against me. From Jesus. Most all but 12, and one of them betrayed him, and 8 of them didn't know anything about him, and one did, John. Peter and James knew a little bit. And Paul said the same thing. He said, all of them in Asia turned against me and left me. That's part of the walk of being a God. You have to. Here's the thing. You're not going to know who you are until you can walk with no one beside you but God. And you have to realize he's within you. And you walk by the power of God. And if nobody else goes, it doesn't make any difference. You're still following God because he's God. That's a lonely walk, I'm telling you. Every prophet in the book, man or woman, they had hard times walking out the truth of God. It's not going to be an easy cakewalk. It's tough. Anybody tells you it's easy, they're lying to you. There's nothing easy about this. But if you trust God, he'll sustain you. He'll glorify you, and he will justify you. It's all taken care of. So what have I got to doubt? What is there for me to doubt, or you to doubt? If he's called us, there's nothing to worry about. Just walk your life out, deal with every situation as it comes up. Jesus didn't go looking for problems. Paul didn't go looking for problems. They just dealt with what popped up in front of them. Whatever God placed in their walk, you know, that's okay. We'll deal with it. And it went on. One day at a time, one step every day. Just keep on going. Get up this morning, we'll deal with the day. He said, my bone clings to my skin and my flesh, and I am escaped by the skin of my teeth. What he's saying is, hey, the world just soon see me die, but God brought me through it. See, the world don't care whether we live or die. In fact, most of them probably like to help us get out of here, you know. So it's okay. I had a friend down in Vanceburg one time. I used to tell him, he'd call me and I'd say, is there any rocks over there in Lewis County? And he said, why? And I said, well, you throwed so many at me, I didn't know if there's any left over or not. You know? Yeah, it's okay. I don't care. You know? That's your job. See, if he's got people in the positive, does he have people in the negative? So somebody's got to throw rocks, don't they? So if they're rock throwers, what are they supposed to do? If I try to stop them from being a rock thrower, I'm trying to stop what God has set in motion. Correct? So why should I care? I'm not setting the course of this world. God already set it. I'm just following his pattern. Nothing else. Don't have to jump through a hoop. Don't have to do anything but obey what God told me. That's it. Okay? He cries out here and says, have pity on me. Have pity on me, O my friends, because the hand of the one true God has touched me. There's the reason for his problems. Hey, everybody wants to cry out in the time of misery and want to blame somebody else. How come we don't hear what it says in Philippians 4 and 7? Give thanks in all things to God. Didn't say just the good things, did it? We've got to be able to bless God in all things. Didn't Job say earlier, he said, shall I receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil also? I call it the gospel light, like the light bread. They take all the good stuff out and put junk back, chemicals back in it and drug you up with it and then tell you it's better for you than the real thing God created for you. Wrong. I'll tell you the straight truth even if it offends you. You know, I'm going to give you everything he's got. And that's the thing that will change it, because only the Word of God will set you free. John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my Word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will... And what sets you free? The truth that you know. You got to know it, or it won't set you free. So we got to continue in. And that bread that he gives us isn't light gospel. It's the straight-up gospel. It's the real good news, okay? I ain't found any good news in anybody burning in hell yet. And if you love me, don't love me that kind of way. Yeah, I don't need that kind of love. Okay, verse 22. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? They tormented him. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me like you're God? Do you ever think anybody ever do that to you? You ever have anybody do it to you? Think they're a God and have the right to persecute you? I have. I've had lots of them. Lots of them. You know what? They don't understand God. They think they're holier than thou. What do we call that? Bob and Bertha better than you? Yeah, okay. You know, y'all know some of them? Bob and Bertha better than yous? Find out one of these. And here Job cries out and said, oh, that my words were now written, that they were printed in a book. Little did he know, it's in a book. It's in a whole bunch of books, isn't it? It's put in a book. He was crying out. Why did he want it printed? Now you tell me this. Why did he want it printed? There's an answer. So those that came after him could read it and understand that God is in control of everything and that the pattern is this. You're going to suffer while you're here, but it'll make you a better person. It'll make you a better son to your father. You've got to overcome something. See? You'll never be an overcomer if you don't overcome something. They were graven with an iron pen. What's iron represent? Stiff will, solid, rigid, no flexibility. They were written with a pen and lead in the rock forever. Now, which way is he talking about that? Now, he said it was written with iron. It was unbending. And it was written, the law of Moses was written in a tablet, wasn't it? In a stone, engraved in a stone. It was unbending. When Moses threw it to the ground the first time, what happened? It broke. Now, those laws can't be bent. They can only be broken. That's in the natural realm. It can't be, you can't bend the law. It can only break. It's rigid. It won't flex. See? But now, it was written in the rock forever. And the book says that in 1 Corinthians 10, that Jesus was that rock. Christ was that rock that followed them through the desert. But it was written in this rock in the spiritual understanding of it. And see, the law that is greater than all the other commandments, Jesus told his disciples was what? If you love everybody, you know what you'll do? You'll never hurt anybody. You'll never lie to them, cheat them, never steal from them. You never do anything bad to them. If you love them. But we've got to get past the love of the natural love, the natural instincts of a human to love, or an animal instinct to love another animal or another person, but to get to the love of God, to unconditionally love everyone, no matter, it's not conditional on if they love you first, you love them regardless. See, that's the way he was. The book says he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. He drew us with his love, not by threatening to burn us in hell. See, that concept is totally foreign in the mind of God. And his children don't know that concept. The Jewish people, that's why the Jewish people don't believe in hell. Because in their culture, there was no hell. They have no, when you say hell, they think of a grave. They don't have no concept of fire and torment. Don't bother them because there's no concept of it. And they were the ones that got the law to start with. And there was no hell in that. But preachers in our new society we have today and our new religious concepts they have, which is not truth, but they have implied this in there to scare people. They think it's better to get you into a church building and tell you a bunch of lies and garbage. It's better for you because they know more for you than God does. It's all fear tactic to manipulate and control people. It's not true. That's why them people don't worry about hell, because they had no concept in their language. They don't even have a concept for that, of torment and hell forever. And it's not in this book. Never did God ever say in one time in this book, I will put someone in hell if they don't obey me. Never did he say that. That was a concept of some preacher that started, and everybody grabbed onto it and ran with it and never went back to check and see if it was true. And I think one of the commandments we were told from Paul was this: search the scriptures to see if the things I say are true. Aha! How many people only a few that ever look. Look at the book. It'll tell you the truth. Believe me, God don't lie to you. Preachers will. Promise you that. They do it every day. Now, I'm not blaming the preachers. I'm just saying this. They're ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad thing. It can be cured. Stupidity will carry it to the grave. But ignorance can be cured with a little bit of information. And if God wanted them to know the truth, what would they know? The truth. If God wants to use them that way, go back to Samuel, and Samuel will tell you he's going to remove all the old men from the altar. That's mature men from the altar. But the ones I leave there will be for two reasons. The church is teaching today, it's all about you. It's not about God. It's about you. That's the way they're teaching them. Where to leave off at? 25. I know my Redeemer lives. Well, there's a big statement. He said, I know he lives, and he, that's the God again, there's that he again, shall stand, where? At last, not at the latter day, but at last, that word day shouldn't be there, at last, stand in the earth. What's he saying? God's here. Job knew that God dwelled within. He said, the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Come to a place we understand it, then we no longer wrestle with God, but we accept the correction of God. Embrace it, because it's the thing that's going to heal you. It'll cure you. It'll make you whole. To embrace the things that God and after my skin is destroyed in this body, yet in my flesh, he said, God's going to stand in this earth, and after my skin flesh, I shall what? See the one true God. He said, even though my flesh and everything is destroyed, I shall see the one true God. You think he's concerned with what people think about him? He's come above something. At this point, he's saying, hey, y'all ain't got no control over me. That's the last thing that religious system in this world wants to hear, that you don't have control over me. God's in control. They say, no, we're the ones. We're God's men. We're telling you what. No, 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 no. God is in each and every person. That's the one that's supposed to tell you. See, I'm not your boss. I'm your brother. I'm not your God. I tell you what he tells me to tell you. That's all I got to do. I'm a seed sower. I don't have to worry about it. God gives the increase. Whom I shall see for myself. Oh, I like this one. Whom I shall see for myself. Work out your own salvation, your own deliverance with fear and respect of God. You're going to see him yourself. Don't come and tell me God's up on the mountain. I don't want to hear it. I want to see God in your life. I want you to see God in your life. I've had an experience with God. I've seen God. But that's not what I'm talking about. I want you to have it. See, if I have it and keep it to myself, what good is it going to do you? The only way God's going to help you is when you and him have your own relationship. That's what God's after. He's after everybody, not just a select few. He chose a select few to help the rest of them along. That's what the first fruit's all about, to help someone else. He said, I gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher for the perfecting of the saints and maturing them. See, in the church world, it's turned it around. You're supposed to provide for the preacher. And the preacher's supposed to be providing for you. Hello. Isn't that what they say? That's what the book says, but they don't do it, do they? They just don't do it. They take from you. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, I think he said. Okay. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall what? See, and not another. Whose eyes are going to see? Your eyes are going to see that God is there, and you don't have to worry. And you know what? I'm glad my mind is being destroyed, because you can't have two thinking processes at the same time. That's a double-minded man, isn't it? Double-minded man. So I don't want to. I want the one that he's got, the mind of Christ. And then Job comes back at him here. He says something pretty cool here. He said, but you should say, why do we persecute him, seeing the root of the matter is found within ourselves? Oh, oh, there's a revelation there, isn't there? Why are you persecuting anybody else when you've got the same problems? You know why preachers stand up and preach about the things they preach about? Because it's their problems. You get a preacher that stands up and preaches about sex. I guarantee he's on some kind of drugs, whether it's prescription or something. If he's always talking about drugs and alcohol and he's wanting to drink himself, or he is drinking. If he's talking about sex all the time, you know what? It's because he's full of lust. I guarantee you, they preach a problem. You ever run around people, watch this in your life. I've seen it many times through my life, just over and over and over. People are quick to call somebody a liar. Why? They know what their problem is. Want to call somebody a thief. Why? Because they know what they'd do if they had the opportunity. See what I'm telling you? So the problems are within. You're not supposed to preach issues. The only issue that you should have as a minister of God is Christ. Preach Christ, like Paul said, and him crucified. That's it. That's the message. Christ. Christ, the Spirit of God. That's it. That's the whole issue. Nothing else. I know it ain't popular, but that's the truth, and that's what we got to say. He said, but you should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in us? Be ye afraid of the presence of the sword. The word of there should be of the presence of the sword. It's the word panim. Because anger brings punishments of the sword, that you may know that there is what? Justice or judgment. He said there's a reason for all of it, so you can learn what justice and judgment is all about. Why were we given the law? Before the law, there's no penalty, is there? When the law came, he showed, like Paul said, I didn't know it was wrong to covet until the law came along and told me, thou shalt not covet. I have to come to the knowledge of the negative before I can ever learn about the positive. I had to learn that it was wrong to covet something, and when I learned that, then I could get straight from it, because we all have covetousness in us when we come into this world. We all have the ites in the land, don't we? It's a good reason. It's a good thing that God brought this into us. Absolutely. We have to experience it.